Welcome in, everybody. Happy Friday. You are listening to Steen on Sports. You're listening to us live on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Welcome in. It is a high school football Friday. I have family that's going out to watch the Southeast Polk game, get to see the new stadium. A little jealous, I have to say. It's Iowa State weekend. Are you kidding me? You have college football on Friday nights. You have the United States not being in the championship game in the FIBA World Championship Classic. We'll maybe dive into that just for a couple of seconds. There's just all kinds of stuff we have going on. Hope everybody had a great Friday. Welcome time for the weekend. You can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports at 1700 The Champ. We have a bunch of stuff going on. So tonight we get Twins Met 6:30. Tomorrow we get Notre Dame North Carolina State early. You get UNI Weber State mid-afternoon, 3 o'clock pregame there on Sunday. Crazy. Steelers, 49ers, Dolphins, Chargers. You also get Cowboys, Giants, another huge game, and Bills, Jets. We're going to do a deep dive into the NFL today as well. B. Styles coming in here today at 5:21. It's been a couple of weeks. He's been on vacation. We were on vacation. So we got him back in here just in time for the NFL. So getting ready to listen to his NFL takes and get his take on the big football game this weekend. As always, I want to thank our sponsors of the show, Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, Heritage Building Maintenance, and Broadlawns Medical Center. And going to take a step back and talk about the new medical center for Broadlawns in the Drake neighborhood, right across the way from Walgreens and just down from the Knapp Center. I couldn't wait to get there. And as soon as I pulled in the parking lot, my jaw dropped. It was amazing. It is a gorgeous building. It is patient friendly. It is doctor friendly. It's calming. It's what you want a medical clinic to be. And I am so happy and proud to be a part of getting to talk about Broadlawns. It was just outstanding. So we had a great time. Here's the difficult thing. It's a medical clinic, so you don't want to have to go there. But if you do, and for any reason, I can tell you that you are going to be impressed. You are going to be calmed. Nobody likes to go to the doctor. I hate going to doctors. And most of the doctors I go to are friends. And people that I know and trust and love, and I still don't like going to doctors. I don't like going to dentists. I have dentists that are friends. I don't even like going to the eye doctor, and that's nothing. It's just one of those things. And when you walk in, you want to have a calming effect. And man, it was amazing. So kudos for everyone, staff. It was wonderful and can't wait to get to talk more and more and more about Broadlawns. So, we will talk about all of them as we move along today. We are a Kansas City Chief affiliate and, you have to talk about the game last night. And I've been debating this for a while today, trying to figure out how to best go about explaining the game last night. I am excited for the Detroit Lions. They've had some tough times. They've had some good teams. But there's always, they haven't been able to get over the hump. And I think that they have in their, let's say, the last 15 years, I think they've made bad choices for coaching. I think they've made good choices for trying to resurrect a program, but wouldn't stick with them long enough to see it through. They hired Dan Campbell, and it was really interesting because when you look at Dan Campbell, and give me just a second, because this is what happens when you get to be 57 years old. You tend to forget stuff every once in a while. So Dan Campbell and Nick Sirianni came into the NFL last year, and together might have had two of the worst opening press conferences. And not that they were, it just, when you have these press conferences, you're looking for someone that's going to come in, they're going to control the room, they're going to be the room, everybody's going to be, it's everything's on them. And I think they were very nervous, and I think they, you know, people were on both sides, Philadelphia and Detroit, I think were upset and going, what are we doing? And when you listen and you hear and you see what's going on and where Detroit was and where Dan Campbell has brought this group now to go into Kansas City and win a football game that you had no, and maybe someone's going to disagree with me, even into the fourth quarter, you probably had no rhyme or reason that you were going to win that football game. And the team that has the experience, just not at every position right now, kind of wilted when the pressure got big. And they didn't. And I think Dan Campbell is going to be an awesome coach. And I think the Detroit Lions, I think they're going to have issues sometimes. I think their offense, I heard a lot of people say this today, Jared Goff's not great, but Jared Goff's good. If you have a coach, an offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson, they have it, and you have the team behind you, you don't need great. I mean, I look at the NFL right now, and it is, there are not a lot of, there's not a lot of great teams. Whole teams, there's not a lot of them. And there's definitely not a lot of them in the NFC. If you were picking somewhere that you want to, you know, see something's going to happen, maybe be somebody that's never been there before, it's going to come out of the NFC. I think the AFC is stacked. Philadelphia was in the same spot. They bring in Nick Sirianni, and then he in turn, I mean, Dan Campbell brought in Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson went there, and that offense is fun to watch. Did Jared Goff make a big mistake last night? I don't think so. Did he miss a couple of throws? Yeah. Were they pretty tight on play calling? Yeah. So was Kansas City. And then I look at Nick Sirianni, who Philadelphia has big game this weekend as well. It's nice to have everything ready to go here. Who was my Philadelphia? Dun, dun, dun. The Philadelphia Eagles. Why am I thinking it is the? Yep, it's the Patriots. They play the Patriots this weekend. Interesting. Before all the stuff happened with Bill Belichick yesterday, breaking up with his longtime girlfriend, and everybody worrying about what he's going to be like, probably the same as he always is. But with Nick Sirianni. Not a good press conference, but the people that he put in place who are now head coaches, and so he had to put somebody else into place, you could see why they went with these two guys. Totally different people. Nick Sirianni, deep thinker, kind of lends himself to the coordinators and works together in tandem. Dan Campbell, the ankle biter and rah-rah and the get-in-your-face guy, and leaves his offense and defense to his coordinators. Did the Detroit Lions outplay the Kansas City Chiefs last night? No. Did the Kansas City Chiefs have some really peculiar play calling and on down? I mean, the last 3 minutes, actually the last 5 minutes of the game, having to kick two field goals, because of some questionable play calling. And then going for it on 4th and 25 with 3 timeouts left, questionable. New play caller, Matt Nagy, questionable. You know, it's Andy Reid, and I get it. And every time I walk into a room and I talk about the Kansas City Chiefs and I mention Eric Bieniemy, I get yelled at because, well, it's not Eric Bieniemy, it's Andy Reid. And then I'm looking at the Redskins, and I think that the team's starting to buy in, and maybe it is Eric Bieniemy, and maybe they're going to miss Eric Bieniemy. And, you know, that's Eric Bieniemy left the Kansas City Chiefs for less money and less control, if per se. Why? When you have Patrick Mahomes. I mean, he has Sam Howell. It's not the same. Do I think the Kansas City Chiefs are going to be okay? Yes. Do I think that was an abnormality last night? Yes. The wide receivers for the Kansas City Chiefs decided they didn't know how to catch a football. I mean, it was hard to watch. And it was hard for them to get separation. And now everybody's going, well, we don't have the right wide receivers. What are we going to do? Travis Kelce changes all of that because Travis Kelce gets double teamed. And then you can't play zone. And so now those guys, instead of having people in groupings being around them and ball hawking, and not every team in the NFL has Aiden Hutchinson, superstar, waiting to happen. Unbelievable pressures last night. He had the Kansas City. Here's the everybody else in the NFL against the Kansas City Chiefs that the referees don't call stuff on Kansas City. The right tackle was a legal motion almost every single play. And they still did what they did last night. And I could tell when they were going to throw the ball. Kansas City has some work to do. Travis Kelce makes a lot of this stuff go away. A lot of the things that happened last night when Detroit did move the ball, Chris Jones takes that away. You've been to the Super Bowl. You've been to the AFC Championship game. Every year, Patrick Mahomes has been in the NFL. You've been to 3 Super Bowls. Pay the damn money. Make it up later. You're the Hunt family. Pay the man. I've paid that man his money. Pay him. You know what the tipping point is now. You just saw it with Bosa. Pay him. He stops a lot of that stuff last night because you have to double team him. Last night they had people that were getting double teamed that can't fight through the double team as well as he can. He demands a double team and still wrecks havoc in the backfield. And I had talks and calls about this today as well. Texts. You know, is this a year that Kansas City just goes, huh, no, you have Patrick Mahomes. There's never a year that you go, huh. They had a better offseason this year than they did last. They lost Tyreek Hill. Nobody knew what that was going to do. Nothing. It did nothing. The line wasn't great, but Detroit has a really good front and a really good defense. They couldn't get the running game going except for Patrick Mahomes. Listen. If you could catch a football, so you take away one touchdown because Tony should have caught that pass. It hit him in the hands and then went into the defender's hands, and there was nobody there because it was an out pattern, and they score a touchdown. That is not a touchdown that should have happened. Detroit was not driving the field and taking care of Kansas City. So there you go. If you want to know, did I care about some of his other drops? No. Because I just don't know how disciplined of wide receiver he is. Do I think he's a talented wide receiver? Absolutely. How disciplined is he? Not very. But that pass in his hands, and it's great. In social media, it says this pass, and it was, I mean, he was the only person around, turned into a touchdown for the other team. I mean, talk about a really good social media pick and post. I mean, that was ridiculous. That the game changes. If they don't get those 7 points, they're done. And I thought the play calling on the two drives that Harrison Butker kept field goals for, I thought the play calling on those drives were not good. I mean, I get it. And I don't think Andy Reid wants to be called an evil genius or a guru or whatever. It's just him. I think people overblow it, and then I think people get angry and go, well, what kind of superstar is he? Well, he's really, really good because they rarely lose, and he rarely has a losing season, and he's won Super Bowls and been to championship games. I just think it was a culmination of you're celebrating the Super Bowl, all the fans that are there. It was just one of those nights, and you got to let it go. And it happens. It's not going to get easier because everybody wants a piece of Kansas City. That's what it is. When you're a Super Bowl champion and you come back the next year, that is your deal. Everybody gets up for you because they want to see how they compare. And last night, that was a game Kansas City should have won. And if they'd have been more dedicated and not had as many mistakes, they'd have won that football game by 2 touchdowns. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 1700 The Champ Real Sports. Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Friday. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports, Facebook at 1700 The Champ, website 1700thechamp.com. All of the podcasts are up, so you can download them wherever you download your podcast, or you can go to 1700 The Champ and do it that way as well. We have Twins and Mets, 6:30 pregame, so that'll be coming up right after. Huge, huge games for Minnesota. Every game now until the end of the season, 21 games left, 6-game lead. You can do the math. They need 16 wins to make sure. I mean, that's then it doesn't matter. So that's what we're shooting for. This segment will be brought to you by Northwest Bank, commitment that you can bank on. Taking care of your personal business, agriculture, private banking, wealth management, and insurance needs every day your way. Locations in West Des Moines, 2 in Ankeny, 1 in Ames, 3 locations in Omaha, and many across the northwest side of the state. Check out Northwest Bank's mobile app for ease of doing banking. Whenever your phone is in your hand, go to nw.bank to take advantage of applying online for various types of loans. From a vehicle loan to a mortgage, it all starts there. On the website, you can visit the newsroom for all things Northwest Bank. You can view the BizBuzz blog, I love that, for their business insight, or simply use multiple banking tools to enhance your banking experience. All this at nw.bank. Once again, don't wait and open up an account with Northwest Bank, commitment that you can count on. Member FDIC. Okay, a couple of things. We're going to do some more NFL, and then I'll do some Iowa State going into the top of the hour. Then we'll have B Styles. We'll talk about a little bit there too, NFL, everything, and then do a little betting in the last segment of the second hour. We'll just continue a little college and a little pro coming up after this segment here as well, just to give you a heads up. One of the bigger news kind of happened a little bit yesterday. Breaking: Joe Burrow has reached an agreement with the Bengals on a 5-year, $275 million extension. That includes $219 million guaranteed and makes him the highest paid payer in NFL history, sources tell Adam Schefter, until the Kansas City Chiefs renegotiate Patrick Mahomes. Joe Burrow was waiting for Patrick Mahomes to go to see if he could top Patrick Mahomes, and Patrick Mahomes said, no, 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 that's not how we do things. So now it's up to the Kansas City Chiefs to see where we are at and the quarterback making money, but that is well over well over $50 million a year. Is Joe Burrow worth it? Have you seen the Cincinnati Bengals the last few years? Yes, Joe Burrow is worth every penny. So after finally getting to see an NFL game last night, and getting to see the Chiefs and getting to see the Lions and kind of what the NFL is going to be like, I don't know if it changes some of the way I'm looking at games, but it did change a couple of things. So I wanted to go through some of these. The Bengals and the Browns. I before this Kansas City game, now the Kansas City game last night, you had celebrations leading up to the majority of the game. And, you know, it was just a weird, maybe they weren't at their best and they were missing Travis Kelce. So I kind of put that away because I put, hey, when I was looking at that game, trying to bet that game, which by the way, I lost both bets. I can't believe there was not an over so I could at least split. But all that being said, so I'm looking at some of these games, and one of them was the Bengals and the Browns, and I was taking into the effect of, you know what, I think home field advantage is a huge deal, and I want, well, I don't because I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan, but in just trying to forecast NFL, I think having home field is a huge deal. I think it's 3 points, maybe 2.5 points. And Cincinnati going into Cleveland is a 2.5 point favorite. So I'm thinking, okay, you know, that's kind of what it is. You know, it's home field, but after watching last night, I want to take when I'm looking at this, I want to be able to take the better quarterback and the better coach. And that didn't work last night. The better quarterback didn't win. It wasn't his fault that they didn't win. The better quarterback had a great game. The winning quarterback, not as much. And there's nobody out there saying that Dan Campbell is a better coach than Andy Reid, but boy, did he have his guys ready to go. I don't know what I think of Zach Taylor, and I know what I think of Kevin Stefanski. So I'm leaning towards the Bills. I'm taking the over, and I'm going to take the point. I'm 2.5 points. I think that's, I'm taking Cincinnati and I'm taking the over. I just, Cincinnati's a better team. Joe Burrow has some, now he has a number to live up to. Now you're going to know how good a quarterback he is because he has a number. The Jaguars and Colts. I said before, I listened to all kinds of sports talk radio. I listened to all kinds of podcasts trying just to hear different things. I heard Colin Cowherd say that he's not even thinking this is an upset. He thinks that the Indianapolis Colts are going to beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I look at that and I go, okay, if I'm going off of what I do, who has the better coach? Who has the better quarterback? And who's at home? And the Jaguars have two and the Colts have one. I'm taking the Jags. I'm taking the points. It's five. I think they're a touchdown better team, and I'm taking the over. I think this is how this is going to work. The Tampa Bay and Minnesota. I don't know if and this is in Minnesota. I don't know if Tampa Bay can score. That's how much I do not like their coaching, and I do not like their quarterbacks. I am not a Kirk Cousins hater. I am a Kirk Cousins fan. I have a hard time if I'm rooting for a team and my quarterback is good, he doesn't cost my team wins, he doesn't cause me any headaches, he's a team leader. I mean, he marks every box. He's a great husband. He's a great dad. He's a great community guy. I root for Kirk Cousins. Tampa Bay's a mess. I think Tampa Bay can give Arizona a run for, I can see if I can go lower in wins than you can, because we need a quarterback too, because we don't have one, because Baker Mayfield is not a starting quarterback in the NFL. The over-under is kind of high for me, because Tampa Bay does have a defensive coach and he takes pride in his defense. I think I'm going to take the under, but I am going to take the 6 points. I feel pretty comfortable with that. talk about a game that I have absolutely no read on. It's the Tennessee Titans and the New Orleans Saints. I am not a big Tennessee fan. I am not a fan of Ryan Tannehill's. I'm not a fan of Derrick Henry, even though I love Mike Vrabel. Everything about him, he's trying to run an 80s offense in 2023, 2024. It just doesn't work. I don't think they're going to be very good. So I'm going to take the Saints. I'm going to take the points, and I have no idea. I'm going to take the over. I think they're going to go. I don't want to take the over, but I think you have to. All right, this one's probably going to surprise people, and I have a really weird feeling on this, and this is going to irritate Nana and Jen because they love Brock Purdy. I love Brock Purdy. They're going into Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh has something to prove. TJ Watt has something to prove. Kenny Pickett has something to prove. I mean, a lot of these guys have some things that they are really, 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 really have. I mean, they need to show. I think the 49ers lost some guys. I think a little bit of a hangover from the loss. I am going to take, and this one's going to be tough too, because it could be a extremely big time offensive game, but I'm going to take the under, and I am taking Pittsburgh. I feel comfortable with that, and I don't want to bet against the 49ers, but it's hard when you have to go into Pittsburgh first game, Mike Tomlin with time, the Commanders and the Cardinals. I think this is easy. I'm taking the over because I think the Commanders are going to get there. I'm taking the points. The Cardinals are trying to do everything in their human power to not. They want the number one pick. They need a quarterback. The Texans and the Ravens. I'm taking Baltimore in the points, and I'm going to take the under because I think Baltimore is going to get into a point where it just wants to muck the game up, play defense, run the football. So I'm going to take the under. Packers and the Bears. This one's been bothering me all day. I was going to go with the Packers. I think Jordan Love's going to be a really good player. I really do. I think he's going to be really, really good. My issue that I have right now is he doesn't have anybody to throw to. It seems like Romeo Doubs is going to be He's not going to play Christian. No, Christian Watson is not playing, and Romeo Doubs is very, very questionable. I'm going to take the Bears at home. I have to give up a point. And I am going, even with that, and Justin Fields, and this is the one that kills me. I'm going to take the under. I think it's going to be 2017, so that's the under. Raiders, Broncos, I've got nothing. I don't even want to pick the game. Just to have it out there so I can see how I would do. I would take the Broncos because they're at home, and I have a really. I'm gonna take the under. The next one is the Eagles and the Patriots. I would love to take the Patriots at home. It's their first game of the year. It's a home game. You would think that they would be up for that. I don't know how much Bill Belichick's in this year. I don't know if he's all the way in. I don't know what I think of Mac Jones. I don't know who he's throwing to. I'm going to take Philadelphia with the points, and I am going to go over. It's 45. I'm going to take the over and see what happens. And wish for some luck coming somewhere. Next one. This one's for Scotty. I'm not positive where I'm at here. It's the Dolphins and the Chargers. It's in LA. I know one thing. I'm definitely taking the over. And I'm going to take the Chargers, even though I have zero trust in Brendan Staley as a coach. I just don't know what else to say. I just don't have any trust in him. The next game is I got a minute here. The Rams and the Seahawks. I think the Seahawks are going to win. I'm going to take the 5 points, and I'm going to take the under on that. It's 46.5. And then we got the late night game on NBC. It's the Dallas Cowboys and the Giants. The Cowboys are 3.5 point favorites. Sorry, T. I'm going to take the Giants because they're at home, and I'm going to take the under. Giants, and I'm going to take the under. And then the last game is the Bills and the Jets. What a game this one's going to be. I've been going back and forth on this one all day, too. It's in New York. It's Aaron Rodgers. I don't know what to think of Josh Allen. I am going to – so I'm getting points. I'm taking the Jets. And I definitely think it's going to be an over game. I'm not sure that either defense, even though they're both really good defenses, the offenses are really, really good. So that kind of sums up. So we'll see how I did. I have confidence in a few things, and I do know that the one game that I took for this weekend to we had our all in the pool. I'm taking the Washington Commanders. Who did the Commander? Yep, they play the Cardinals. I'm taking the Washington Commanders in the pool of the pool that you can't lose in. If you lose, you're out. And you can only choose one team. I am taking, because I could have taken Cincinnati too. Who does Cincinnati? I got the Browns. Nope. I'm going to take the Commanders for that one as well. So there's all mine. I have some potpourri coming up in this next segment. We'll talk a little bit about the Iowa State game coming up tomorrow. B Styles coming in here. We'll get his picks and thoughts on a bunch of these games and finish off with a little potpourri for the week. Second hour coming up. You're listening to Steen on Sports. You're listening to us on 101.3, 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. We got some good stuff coming up. Be right back. Everybody, once again, happy Friday. Last segment of the first hour on this Friday. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ as well. I am watching the Jokovic-Shelton semifinal match. Jokes up. The Joker is up. Two sets. They're playing six. He's up 6-5. It is crazy, and they are going at it. Just missed a match point right there. Wow, it's fun. It's a great time of the year, man. We have football coming up, and we have baseball going on. We have the U.S. Open. Man, it's a lot of fun. Coco Gauff today made it to the U.S. Open final, her first final, so that is awesome as well. We have the Minnesota Twins and the New York Mets tonight at 6:30. Huge game. They have to keep winning. They have this in their pocket if they continue to play good baseball, and I think they're going to do that. So it's pretty exciting. With everything going on with the NFL starting up, we got Iowa State tomorrow, so a lot of fun stuff happening. This segment is going to be brought to you by Broadlawns Medical Center. And once again, we were at the medical clinic in the Drake area. We went there yesterday after we got done with our show. This is a beautiful clinic. calming, soothing, state-of-the-art everything. What Broadlawns is continuing to do in the medical field here in Central Iowa is going to be fun to watch, and I can't wait to be a part of it and get to spend time and talking to everyone. It's going to be very enjoyable, and I look forward to that. So once again, thank you to Broadlawns Medical Center for having Scott and I be a part of your program. So I appreciate that. Just some quick potpourri here. I have a little bit of a fight with two guys that I follow pretty closely on social media, and have had I've had David on before. I'm going to chastise David here in just a second, it's a fight on the Iowa State game. Do you keep playing it? What do you think? What do you do? And this is, listen, Cyclone Larry said, please stop pretending to be a serious person and suggesting Iowa's resume can only be hurt by playing Iowa State. David smacked back and said, Iowa State is a bottom 10 program in power college football history. Iowa's one of five teams to win eight or more games in the past seven seasons. So, David, you're wrong, because you compare the last seven seasons, but when you compare Iowa State to it, you're talking about a bottom 10 program in college football history. Did we have some slow times? Man, we talk about it on this show all the time, and I'm an Iowa State fan, and I wear it with pride. Yes, we did. I sound like Ted Lasso there. Come on. It doesn't increase Iowa State's, if it beats Iowa, loses to Iowa. Listen, it's an in-state rivalry. You have kids that love to play this game, and to take this on a social media level and have kids see this stuff is very embarrassing for both of you. Don't. It's pretty simple. In during Jim Walden and in some of those years, were we seriously lacking? Yes, we were lacking in a lot of things. To say that is the same thing since Jamie Pollard's been here, and for Matt Campbell, David, you're being disingenuous. Pretty much just trying to bully Cyclone Larry. You're not bullying me. I mean, I'm all for. I love both teams until they're playing each other. And you can't say Iowa State is a bottom 10 program in power college football history, and then only say that you're going to talk about the Iowa Hawkeyes in the last 7 years. Now, if you'd have went history, I get that. But you didn't. So stop, both of you. It's quite embarrassing. Here's the interesting one that I wanted to get to, but that one kind of ticked me off a little bit. So I was a little upset with both of them, and I like both of them. Van Plum, who is the attorney for Cyclone Uwazurki, filed a second discovery motion today on the gambling issues with Iowa and Iowa State. He did this for Iowa State, but I think he believes this. The defendant believes, based upon the foregoing, that either an agent of the Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission or Department of Criminal Investigation used the Gaming Commission's GeoComply software to target male athletes at Iowa and Iowa State in four of the men's programs for a reason yet to be known. The agent or agents did not follow the rules as set out by the Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission in reporting their activity, nor did they follow the terms of use established by GeoComply for the use of their software. GeoComply was in fact used to obtain personal data that should have required a warrant, and as such, and such use of GeoComply to obtain personal data was a violation of their rights. The state's action, whether intentional or not, have villainized the targeted young men for making young men mistakes. These young men have been held to account and have held themselves accountable to the NCAA and NFL for their actions. Actions, as argued by the defendant, with the exception of underage gambling are not violations of Iowa law. Iowa Racing and Gaming, as well as the Iowa Department of Criminal Investigation, are not codified enforcement agencies for the NCAA or the NFL, but they are state of Iowa enforcement agencies governed by their own set of rules and procedures, with such rules and procedures appearing to have been violated from the evidence supplied to the defendant as of this date. The defendant is requesting the additional information so that the agents, as grown trained members of our state agencies, can be held accountable if they have in fact violated these young men's rights or broken the rules established for them to ensure equal protection to all Iowans. That's where this is heading. And if you listen to this show, one of the first things that Scott and I talked about is you cannot specifically, for no apparent reason except for to fish, use GeoComply to track people's phones. You can't do that. United States, state of Iowa, we have rules and laws to protect citizens as well. You're there to do the exact opposite. You're there to help protect the citizens of do harm upon themselves, which young men gambling underage is not one of those. Now, I'm not a lawyer. I don't play one on the radio. I'm using common sense. Maybe I'm not getting all the jargon in, but I am just using common sense here. And the simple fact that it's not being done anywhere else in the country except for here means that someone has, if it's me looking at it, someone has an axe to grind with somebody. And I don't know what that is, and I rightly don't care, but it is kind of irritating to a certain extent. And the other one that came out today, it is pretty obvious that Pac-12 Commissioner George Kilivlikoff is officially former Pac-12 Commissioner George Kilivlikoff. When all this gets settled, Washington State and Oregon State are upset and are trying to figure out a way that they could slow this process down. Or I think what the major thing that they are trying to do is trying to figure out how they can recoup some money with nowhere to go and not going to be in a Power 5 conference that's going to have any is not going to have any kind of power unless somebody steps up and takes them in. And I do not think that that is going to happen at any point in time. So it's a difficult situation, and I understand. And I go back, and I thought, and I've said this on the show a long time ago, that I thought that this was always going to come to a head. I just didn't know that it was going to come, that it was going to come this quickly. When you start, I mean, it all started, the SEC found an in, and Texas and Oklahoma found an out. It was only a matter of time before others did, and there's where we're at. Do I think it's going to make for more exciting college football? I do. I think it's going to be a blast, but it probably wasn't right. You're listening to Steen on Sports, 101.3, 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Top of the hour, B-Styles coming in at 521. Be right back. Second hour of Steen on Sports, starting right now. We're bringing your sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook at 1700 The Champ, and the website 1700thechamp.com. All the podcasts are up, so you can download them wherever you download your podcast. Tonight, we're getting Twins Mets at 6:30. Notre Dame, NC State tomorrow at 10:30. UNI, Weber State, 3 o'clock pregame. Sunday, 49ers Steelers, huge game. Dolphins Chargers, huge game. Cowboys Giants, huge game. I mean, seriously, I mean, the 49ers-Steelers game is a big game because it's a couple of really good football teams, you know, taking on each other. But the others, they're right there. The Chargers and Dolphins looking for, you know, how to get an upper hand on getting into the playoffs. The Cowboys and Giants, first game out of the year, looking to see who has an edge in the division, trying to get back in with Philadelphia. And the Bills and the Jets, the Bills with a disappointing, maybe a disappointing end to their season. And the Jets, Aaron Rodgers, what's it going to be? What's it going to look like? It's going to be exciting. Jokovic, the Joker, beat Shelton. Now we wait. 6 o'clock is Medvedev and Alcaraz, seeing who is going to play the Joker in the finals of the U.S. Men's Open. So we did some NFL football. Kind of went through that with you. Let's do a little college football to kind of get the juices going here. Let me get to my page here. We have some good games tonight. I thought I would pick a couple of these games. This is an interesting one. It's on the Big Ten Network. It's Indiana State. They're 0-1. They're playing Indiana, who is 0-1. I think Indiana wins that game. It's not a betting line game because of Indiana State, but interesting. But I thought this one was interesting. Illinois at Kansas. Kansas, a 3-point favorite. The over-under is 56.5. I am taking Kansas, and I am taking the over, even though I don't know if Illinois can score that much, but I do believe in my heart of hearts that Kansas wants to score that much. So let's see what happens there. Vanderbilt, Wake Forest. I don't know if that's a big game. That's tomorrow. Ohio State, Youngstown State. Once again, not a bettable game. Georgia with an easy game. Penn State with an easy game. Notre Dame, NC State. Notre Dame is 7.5-point favorite. Over under 7.5. I would definitely take the 7.5 on that game. Utah, Baylor. This is an interesting game. It's in Baylor. It's gonna be warm. It's in Utah. Oh, Baylor lost last weekend. I want to have trust in Baylor. I really like Utah. I think there's a really good chance that Baylor can cover. I think there's a really good chance that the game could be that it could be the over. Maybe Utah wins in kind of a small shootout. I don't know. That's a tougher one. I do think Baylor can keep it within 7.5, if not win outright. K-State, Troy, not a bettable. That's going to be what it is. Then you have a big game. It's Nebraska, Colorado. Listen, there is no way in heck that Nebraska wants to go 0-2 with their new coach, and after a very difficult loss to Minnesota. Can Colorado with Deion being there? I don't think this is happening. But are they reading the press clipping, Matt? Are they reading the press clippings? And may struggle. I don't know. Nebraska's. It's 3.5 and 59.5. I don't know if Nebraska can score that much. I think I'm taking the under. And I'm taking Colorado. I want Matt Rhule to do well. I like Matt Rhule. I just don't think it's his time right now. Purdue, Virginia Tech. It's at Virginia Tech. I think Virginia Tech's going to take care of that. This is just not a week for. I mean, there's some good games, but there's not a ton of them. A lot of teams not playing anybody getting through here. I'm trying to find one. Texas A&M at Miami. I think that's a tough game. I'm not a huge Texas A&M fan. Texas A&M is favored by 4.5. I'm taking Miami. I'm taking the points, and I'm taking Miami on this game. Iowa State. It's a 4-point Iowa. and over under is 36.5. That's such a tough game. I don't even want to pick the game. This is the one. If I was going to bet this game tomorrow, and with all the hype and all of that and scoring and stuff, gosh darn it, I'm going to take the over. That's probably what I'm going to bet. Now, you know what I bet. I bet Iowa and the over. Because I just have my own reasons. But I think it's a difficult game to place a bet on. I really do. If you're an Iowa fan, you're going to bet Iowa. I'm an Iowa State fan, and I hate betting on games like that, because every time I bet something like that, I come out on the wrong side. So I'm passing. I do think there's a really good chance it might be the over, with maybe a couple of defensive touchdowns, maybe a punt return, maybe a kickoff return. It's got to come from somewhere, and I'm not positive I know where that's going to come from. Boy, there's just not a ton of, I know there's some other big time games, but they're later in the day. Okay, so let's do this one. Texas at Alabama. Alabama's favored by 7. And the over under is 54.5. 30. I'm going to take the over in that game. I'm going to take the over, and I'm taking Alabama plus the 7. I just don't know what to think of Texas in a big game. I have a strong feeling that you might be seeing the Manning boy. I hope Quentin Ewers shows something tomorrow. I really do. I really, really do. Oregon, Texas Tech. It's Oregon is 6.5, the over under 67. If I was going to do anything, I would take the over on the 67. Talk about a high scoring game. Holy cow. That's going to be extremely interesting. What else do we have here? Wisconsin, Washington State. I don't think that's a talkable game. UCLA, San Diego State. Now that's an interesting one, with UCLA and San Diego State, and it's at San Diego State. UCLA is a 14-point favorite. I'm gonna say that SDSU can cover the 14. So I'm gonna take the points. I'm gonna see if they can step up. They want to be in that conference. They want to be in a big boy conference. If you're going to be in a big boy conference, you got to win a big boy game, and that is a big boy game. USC at Stanford. USC is favored by 29. Do I think Stanford could stay within 29 points? I'm going to take Stanford and the points. I think it's going to be a closer game than that. Oklahoma State, Arizona State is a good game. A prelude to things to come. Oklahoma State is a 3.5-point favorite. Over-under is 53. I'm going to take Arizona State, so I get some points. And the other game is Auburn and California. And it's only a 6.5-point game. It's in California. The over-under, I'm going to take Cal. I'm hoping Cal can give them a game. I really am. And we'll see what happens, and we'll see when we come in here on Monday. We'll see what's happening there. Just a quick update. I haven't sent this all the way in yet, but I'm getting ready to send it in. I am in on Monday. Scott is in on Tuesday. I'll be by myself on Wednesday of next week. Thursday is our Rose Soiree for Broadlawn, so you'll get CBS on that night. And then we have another fundraiser on Friday. So I will be off on Thursday and Friday of next week, and then we'll be back. Going through. The only other thing that I have going on right now for the show is that we have a chance to go to the Oklahoma-Iowa State game. And we wanted to take advantage of that. I, you know, with everything in the last couple of years, my wife and I tried to not say no when little trips like that come up. And I've never been to a Sooner game looking forward to it. So we have that coming up. But other than that, should be here. And just a little bit, I got, I've got 6 minutes here. 6 minutes to talk a little bit about some of the things I think for the Iowa State game tomorrow. Some keys for Iowa, and this is for Iowa State, Rocco. He's going to be facing a tough defense, a very opportunistic defense, a ball hawking defense. He has to be very careful. I think you can work through that system, and I think you can get some plays, but you're going to have to scheme to get those plays. And he has to have poise. It says one of the biggest things in here. Rocco has to show poise tomorrow. He said, we're going into this week prepared, and every day we're going to get better and better and better, and that's what we're going to do throughout the season. This is it's a big game, but it's not any bigger than the other games. We have to have wins. I like that. And I think that's what's going to be key. I was very interested to see if we'll get J.J. Cole at points in this game without anything happening to Rocco. And I don't really have an answer for that. And I've been asked it a lot today. And I think that it depends on how much poise and coolness and calmness that Rocco shows. I think watching him last weekend, he looked like a very young Brock Purdy. Didn't get rattled. Didn't, you know, when he didn't have something, he didn't lose yards. He took the ball. It's going to be very interesting. I think the secondary part of all of this is how healthy is Cade McNamara. He's going to have to, the way that Iowa State schemes on their side of the ball on defense, he's going to have to show maneuverability tomorrow. If he can't move to his right or move to his left very well, he's going to struggle just based solely on scheming. Now, if Iowa is their run blocking is better and they can establish a run game, that's going to help so you can get some play action. If not, that's a long day for McNamara if he's not 100% healthy, which it doesn't seem that he's going to be. And that's the difficult thing with your quad. Because you get it both ways. He's even when he's turning and planting to hand the ball off, you're making that muscle do something that's not used to. When he goes back to drop back to pass, and he has to plant, you're making that leg do something that it doesn't want to do right now. Whenever he makes a throw, you have to follow through with that said leg. It's just part of how all of this works. And if the maneuverability isn't there and you're allowing to get pressure, it could be a long day. I think that is the way Iowa State's going to play that. They want to stop the run. And they want to make Cade McNamara move. Iowa's defense, they want to mess with Rocco. They want to get him to think he's seen something that he's not. And that's how they're gonna pick off passes. If he takes his time, what the thing that I said, don't take a sack, throw the ball away. If you don't have anything, you don't necessarily have to run every time, throw the ball away. If you have an opening, run. But get down. I think those are keys, and I think later in Brock Purdy, and now he's learned, and when you see him, he goes down quicker. He doesn't take some of the hits they used to take. Some of the bad passes, a bad read, and you throw it into the ground is better than a bad read that you throw an interception. So I think the two things on the quarterback. Can Iowa State make Cade McNamara maneuver, get out of the pocket, and make throws? And if he does, and he does it well, that could cause Iowa State problems. I like that we are going to match up with a lot of Iowa's receivers man on man on and Iowa State the same thing. Everybody's, I mean, it's going to be, you've got to beat me. They're not going to be in zones. I doubt most of the days. I think it's going to depend on Iowa if they drop their linebackers or not. I think Iowa State, it's more of linebackers going sideline to sideline, trying to stay away from big runs out there. Because I think both teams think that you're not going to be able to run the ball at the middle and get big yardage. It's going to be an interesting game. Better weather than what they had last year. These games have been much closer in the last few years. So it's more of a chess match, and it's a lot more fun to watch. I think it's going to be a good football game. Do I think that either side could get a bigger win than what's expected if things fall the right way? If this game was in Iowa City, I would have a much bigger concern, especially for Rocco being in a situation that he's not accustomed to. It's not that being in Jack Trice isn't bothering Cade McNamara. Him not being healthy is going to bother Cade McNamara. It's going to be fun. B Styles coming in. He's going to have an opinion. He's also going to have opinion on some NFL games. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Friday. Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Minnesota Twins baseball tonight. They play the Mets at 6:30. Huge games coming up. About 19 games left. They got a 6-game lead. They got to keep it up there. Looking forward to some Minnesota Twins baseball this weekend. My next guest, it's been a couple of weeks. We've been busy. It's Brendan Styles. He is at TheBStyles on Twitter. B, how you doing, brother?
Doing good. It's funny you actually mentioned that because I'm going to a game here in about, I guess as soon as I get off the phone with you and then do some things around here before I head out over to Target Field.
Huge game. Yeah. It's a huge game tonight.
Yeah. Well, for the Twins, it is. Yeah, because I think they're only, if my memory serves, I think their magic number is like 16 maybe.
Yep. I think that's what I said earlier. Yep.
Yeah. So it's something where, and I told you back in the summer, I thought just with the way things were looking between with the run differential between them and the Guardians, that they were probably going to end up winning the AL Central. So, sure enough, they're starting to run away with it now. And I mentioned this a while back, but it's going to be crazy here that first week in October because you're going to have, in all likelihood, the Twins are going to be playing 3 games at Target Field. And then that following weekend, the 7th and 8th, the Gophers play Michigan over at Huntington Bank Stadium, and then the next day the Vikings play the Chiefs at U.S. Bank.
Wow.
So
that's a busy time.
Yeah, that's all in 1 week.
Man, you guys will be hopping up there. That's awesome. So a lot of stuff going on. I want to get Joe Burrow. He got paid yesterday.
Yeah.
And I think Joe Burrow was waiting. He was trying to get Patrick Mahomes to go first because he wanted to be the highest paid for a while. I don't think it's going to last very long. It's probably going to be a couple weeks, and Patrick Mahomes is going to go over that. Of all the quarterbacks that are getting, I mean, I get Mahomes. I understand that. The next one, if I had to give money to, it would have been Joe Burrow. Trevor Lawrence would be the other one. I mean, he's going to deserve it too.
Well, yeah, when the time comes for Trevor Lawrence, I agree.
Absolutely.
I don't know if he's quite there yet.
He's
although
not
he does have a playoff win under his belt. But, I agree that Burrow's had to be kind of the next in line, especially because Josh Allen also got paid too, right?
Yes. It's just been
I mean, yeah, so we're at the point where, like, all the elite quarterbacks, if you will, have either gotten paid or are about to get paid. And I think that's definitely – it's obviously a good thing for them, but I think it's also good for the sport just knowing that you have these teams that they have their franchise guys and it gives them staying power. And I know it seems the tricky thing is going to be, and you saw it like with the Chiefs last night, although I get that Kelce was out, so that was shocking in a sense to see Detroit win that game. But
Matt Nagy.
Well, yeah, that, and also I think the bigger thing, though, if you go beyond that, is the Chiefs, they're going to have to find a way to get some other weapons besides Kelce around Mahomes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's not just – I know some Iowa fans are going to bring up, well, they could have kept Amir Smith-Marset. I don't know what sort of impact you would have had if they still had him on the Chiefs last night. But you think about Kadarius Toney dropping all the passes he did. But you also look back at the Super Bowl. They had Juju Smith-Schuster played a role, and they let him walk to New England. He's probably somebody they were wishing they could have kept.
Because he's a big receiver. That's what they need.
Right. And I also think, like, Rashee Rice is somebody I was high on during the draft. I was actually kind of hoping would be there for the Bears in Kansas City. Ended up taking him. So I think he'll develop over time. That was his first game. Sky Moore, I think, will continue to get better for them. So it's something where if you're the Chiefs, you got to bank on that productivity. But because of the fact that they've been paying Mahomes, they also got to be able to work around his contract. And that's going to be the challenge for Cincinnati when you bring up Burrow is, okay, what's going to happen now when Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, they get to that point. I know they just paid Joe Mixon recently, but are they going to be able to keep that all together down the line? I know they'll be able to in the interim and, you know, in the short term, but that's something that you're hoping that when Burrow enters the prime of his career, he's still going to have plenty of weapons to be getting the ball to.
I agree. I want to talk about the Iowa State, but I want to talk about the North Division in the NFC because I think that's going to be the one to watch all year because I think there's a really good chance that they're going to beat up on each other. I think all of them have a chance to be really good. Minnesota, Green Bay, Chicago, huge game coming up. Chicago, Green Bay this weekend though.
So what you're telling me is Detroit didn't win the division last night by beating the Chiefs. I just want to get some clarification.
Not quite. I mean,
they're good. They're good. And
they have
that's
a good
one
coach.
Of those things where, yeah, and in all seriousness, they got a win that I'm not sure the other three teams are going to get. But back to Sunday. Let me just put it this way. I've basically, this is going to be the first time in darn near forever, maybe ever for me, where I'm looking at my least favorite team and I'm not seeing a Hall of Fame quarterback under center for them.
Absolutely.
And when I think about what the impact this has on the Bears, like, it's one of those things. I am so nervous with regards to this Sunday because, like, there are some things that I have legitimate concerns about as it pertains to the game, one of which being that I still don't know about the Bears' pass rush, and they're going up against an offensive line for Green Bay that's pretty solid and is going to be relatively healthy. So I feel like it's going to be one of those things where they have to get some pressure on Jordan Love and force him into turnovers. I saw that Christian Watson's not going to play for him. But
I don't know if Romeo Dobbs is either.
Well, but even if that's the case, you still have to deal with Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. So yep, you got to be ready for that. That's all that said, if they can't beat the Packers now at home when they, you know, made all the improvements they made this offseason and you don't have number 12 playing for them, boy, that's about as rough a way to start the season as you can imagine.
I agree with that. And then you have Minnesota just sitting there and you have Kirk Cousins and nobody likes, trusts. I mean, likes isn't a good word. Everybody likes Kirk Cousins. He's just that guy. But nobody trusts him. And I think he could just sneak away and go, yeah, I'm going to beat you guys, and what are you going to do about it? And I don't know what – I don't know what to think. It's just that is the one division that you look at and you go, I could see any of the four teams win. I really could.
Well, yeah. And I'll say, I think with Minnesota, I expect the Vikings to regress in the sense that I don't think they're going 13-4 again.
Oh,
but
no.
I think if you're a Viking fan, I think 9 or 10 wins is realistic, and that might be enough to win the division. I honestly think 10-7, well, at least this is what I was thinking before Detroit beat Kansas City last night, was that 10-7 probably wins this division. And although maybe now the Lions, they might be closer to an 11-6 team, and if that's the case, then they're absolutely going to win it. But the one thing I would say, though, is for the talk about the NFC North and how that's all kind of up in the air, I actually think the AFC North could be the same. And I'm going to give you a bold little prediction here. Don't be surprised if all four AFC North teams end up making the playoffs and you have all, the three wild cards in the AFC all coming from that division. Because you have Cincinnati, who we obviously talked about with Burrow, and the success they've had in recent years. They're obviously going to be considered a favorite. But Baltimore, you have Lamar healthy, and they finally got him some weapons to throw the ball to. And then you think about Pittsburgh, you have to think Kenny Pickett will be better, and they get T.J. Watt back on their defense. And even Cleveland, like, the whole Deshaun Watson thing aside, that roster is pretty solid across the board. So if they even get, like, say, three quarters of what he was before everything that came out the last 2 years about him, if they get even three quarters of him, they could probably win 9 or 10 games themselves. And that could end up being something where all four of those teams, at the very least, all get the double-digit wins if they don't all make the playoffs.
And that's crazy with that grouping. And you're looking at Jacksonville. It's sitting there, and they have Houston, Indianapolis, and Tennessee, who I don't think any of them are going to be any good.
No. And I go back to what I told you. I think it was the last time I was on with you. One of the things I noticed with Jacksonville's schedule is that their toughest road game is either what? Is maybe Pittsburgh or Cleveland?
Right.
I mean, all the marquee teams that are on their schedule, they either play at home or they play the Bills in London. I mean, that's one of those things where the schedule is set up real nicely for them that they could realistically be a 1 or 2 seed in the AFC.
I agree with that as well. Once again, we're talking to Brendan Stiles. He's at DB Stiles on Twitter. All right, so looking at Iowa State after their games last weekend, are you, with anything that happened with Iowa last weekend, have any concerns with Cade McNamara, you know, and his maneuverability?
Well, yeah, if he can't finish the game tomorrow, they're in trouble. But there's that. And then I also, the fact that they didn't run the ball that well against Utah State, that would concern me as well. But I will say this. I feel like the way Iowa State likes to play under Matt Campbell, I don't think last year's game aside, I don't think it suits them well when they play Iowa. It suits them great against other Big 12 opponents for sure, because they kind of like to zag when those other teams all zig. But Iowa's kind of built in the same mindset.
Right.
And it's one of the reasons why you keep every year, 2017 aside, when these teams play each other, it seems like it's first to 20 wins if they even get to 20.
Yep. The under's always good.
Right. It's one of those things where I think because of the stylistically, I think it favors Iowa. But then you throw in the fact that, once again, this is at Jack Trice Stadium. This is, I think, because of the COVID year, this is the third time in four meetings that they're playing in Ames. Iowa's been very fortunate when the last few times they've gone to Ames, and there is a part of me that kind of wonders, okay, does the pendulum swing towards the Cyclones this time around just because of, you know, the law of averages, if you will. But then I also have to remind myself, well, Iowa State won last year. Yeah. And I have to think that if you're Iowa, that's got to be sitting in your mind, knowing that you let that one slip away a year ago. And that if you had any semblance of an offense, you probably would have won that game.
Yes.
So to me, I feel like this game comes down to, okay, can they do a better job of run blocking? And can they keep Cade McNamara upright? Like, it comes down to the offensive line. If they can perform better than they did last Saturday against Utah State, then I think the Hawkeyes will win. If they struggle, though, that could lead to some problems, and I think that opens the door for Iowa State.
Yeah, if they can't run and he can't maneuver, it's going to be hard to get their guys open down the field. I do agree. Because John Heacock is going to come up with defense. I mean, this is the great thing. That's too defensive-minded. My issue as an Iowa State fan is I need Rocco Brecht to not have a turnover. And I don't know if you can have that happen. He's just too young.
And it's funny you say it, because I think this is something I know I've talked about with you in the past, is when these teams have gotten together, it's always kind of come down to a turnover battle. And you even think about last year. One of the reasons Iowa State was able to win that game was because they forced a fumble near the goal line that then set up that 99-yard drive they had where they scored and then ended up taking the lead. They get something like that, that helps them. But one of the reasons Iowa's been able to have success against them, especially when they played at Jack Trice Stadium, is because of the fact that they've been able to force turnovers. Yeah. And I absolutely would agree in the sense that whichever team wins that turnover battle is probably going to be the team that ends up holding the Seahawks tomorrow.
Yeah, and I think everybody would agree with you, because it used to be in the last couple of years, it was special teams. And Iowa State went out and corrected some special teams. That doesn't mean that it happens every weekend, but at least it's made the special teams closer. Listen, I would not be betting this game how I've bet it so far if Cade McNamara was healthy, because I think he does make a difference. And the way he plays, he makes a difference of a quarterback that Iowa hasn't had in a long time. But we all know what it's like.
I think since at least,
With having the injury that he has, man, that's a tough thing. You take off and you get pulled down from behind. And like you said, there, once you take him out of the equation, even with a bad quad, then you put the two quarterbacks that you have, a quarterback for Iowa that would have to come in. Then there's no experience there either. So then you're at an even base on that point too. So then it is turnovers, and that's going to be the name of the game. And they both want to turn people over. So it's going to be exciting. I think it's going to be one of I'm hoping it's one of the more entertaining games. Even though last year was fun, that was not an entertaining game.
No, absolutely. It wasn't. And I would just say, like, it's one of those things where I thought the line would be a little bit bigger in Iowa's advantage before it came out over the weekend. And I was even sitting there thinking, you know, that I could see Iowa State keeping this close, but because of where it's at, my head kind of thinks the Hawkeyes just barely get out of there with a victory. But, like, I'm not going to sit here and say it would shock me if Iowa State won, because obviously they did it a year ago and they're at home. They could absolutely win tomorrow. I lean towards Iowa, but it would not surprise me either way.
If they'd have played better in the second half against Utah State, I think that line would have been bigger. But the fact that they didn't, they didn't have enough offense and they weren't able to run the ball, I think that scared a bunch of people away. So enjoy this weekend. NFL's here.
Absolutely.
College football's here. We will talk again next week. Looking forward to it, and have a good weekend, buddy.
Sounds good. Hopefully I'm in a really good mood here Sunday night.
There you go. Have a good one. Talk to you later, B.
See you.
B Styles, I think we're both on the same page. Turnovers, and can Cade McNamara maneuver, or is he more docile? And that's going to be the difference of the game. Who can run the football a little bit probably wins this game. We got one segment left. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. On this Friday, hope everybody had a great Friday. Drive safely home. Enjoy the weekend. Huge weekend. Iowa State. NFL starting up. Lots of things to do and lots of things to see. You are listening to us on 101.3 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans. Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ. The website 1700thechamp.com. Sports for the weekend on 101.3 is we have Twins Mets tonight, 6:30 pregame. Saturday, you have Notre Dame NC State, 10:30 pregame. That takes you up to the UNI Weber State game at 3. 49ers Steelers at 11:30. Dolphins and Chargers joined in progress. Sunday night, Cowboys Giants. Monday night, Bills Jets. The NFL is serious. They put some games up this first weekend, man. It's been a blast to see. This segment is going to be brought to you by Woodman Controls. Woodman Controls Company is Iowa's intelligent building solution company. Provides designs, engineers, installs, programs, and services, HVAC, lighting, card access, and camera controls. They can fully automate your building and improve efficiency, comfort, and security. Located in Ankeny, Iowa, go to Woodman Controls and learn more about a outstanding automation, machinery, manufacturing company. Want to thank Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, Heritage Building Maintenance, and Broad Lawns Medical Center. We couldn't do it without them. We wouldn't want to do it without them. Very, very excited. So, all right. Oh, we got all kinds of stuff going on. a University of Iowa, four-star Cedar Rapids Kennedy O-line, Nick Brooks. It's a big kid. It's a huge get for the Hawkeyes. It has just some stuff for maybe a little fantasy football. You need to set your teams. Don't forget about that. The Seattle Seahawks removed running back Kenneth Walker from the injury report. He had a hamstring, I do believe. So it is, I think he is better. A lot of Kansas City Chiefs fans, a lot of stuff on my little screen here is about Matt Nagy. Matt Nagy can't catch a break. I mean, he came there. They didn't let Eric Bieniemy go, but Eric Bieniemy needed to get out of Andy Reid's shadow. He needed to go out and prove to people that he can do this without having Andy Reid being there as well. And you're going to find out how well the Commanders do. The Commanders on offense have not been enjoyable to watch over the last few years. If he can get something out of there, then I think you can start taking some positive thoughts for Eric Bieniemy. I always have had positive thoughts about Eric Bieniemy. I think he's it's really, really, really good. And I think he understands the NFL system. It was a lot like when you were watching the Lions last night. Ben Johnson is one of those offensive gurus too. He understands what he can do and what he can't do. Jared Goff is not Patrick Mahomes, and Sam Howell is not Patrick Mahomes. So for Eric Bieniemy, Ben Johnson, and for a lot of those guys, I mean, it's very difficult to try to go through and win these games. And I'm pulling for nobody more than I'm pulling for the Commanders this weekend. What they have gone through with Daniel Snyder as their owner is the epitome of what's wrong with professional sports and professional sports ownership and the things that they get away with that other people wouldn't get away. I mean, it's just, I'm glad that Eric Bieniemy gets his shot. So there's so many big things. There are huge UFC fights this weekend. My BetMGM is full of Adesanya has his bout this weekend. Like we said, the Minnesota Twins have the Mets. They need to win games. And it's two things. They need to win games, and they need the Cleveland Guardians to lose games. That makes it even easier for Minnesota. So that's something that you're going to have to look forward to for this weekend as well. There's no bigger game in this state this weekend, in any year than having the Iowa State game. You're going to have some time tomorrow. Kicks at 2:30. Most people, I think that means you can get in at like 8:30, 8 o'clock, right around in there in most lots, if not earlier. We all went through what we went through last weekend at Iowa State. I think they're going to make things be different this week. I think it's going to be easier, but you do need to realize you're going to have to go in earlier than what you did. Do I think you need to go in at 1:30 like Jamie's advocating for? I don't know if you have to do that. I don't know if all the different areas were as bad as it was on the one side. I know going into Sioux Cup was not fun. It was a pretty long wait. It was pretty hot. Had a couple people not do so well. It's one of those games that I'm really looking forward to. And even I thought, you know what, talking to B, he's going to make this easier for me to try to decide, you know, really where I'm at with this game. And I can't. And I've said all along, if Cade McNamara was healthy, maneuverability healthy, being able to take off and run healthy, being able to throw on the run healthy, I think this point spread in this game would be totally different. I've seen Iowa's defense. I've seen the people that they've put in the NFL. Our defense with Coach Heacock is different. He looks at things differently. I think both defenses are going to play well. I think offenses are going to struggle. If Cade McNamara cannot maneuver around, it's going to be a long day. And if everything that the Iowa Hawkeyes are going to do tomorrow has everything to do with making Rocco Breck turn the ball over, I think that's the two biggest things. Last year I thought special teams was a huge difference. I don't think special teams are a huge difference this year. I think both special teams are improved. Iowa's was already improved. I think Iowa State's is vastly improved, and I think we showed that last week. And it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. I still think maybe one of the best games in college football this weekend is Utah going to Baylor. And I think the next one is, can Nebraska slow Colorado down? Matt Rhule needs a win. Deion Sanders got his win. Matt Rhule needs a win. I think those are the two biggest games with the most to prove. I want to believe that Texas can compete with Alabama. I just don't know if they can. And I still don't know how good Alabama's going to be without having their offensive coordinator that has been there. I don't know how good a coach Steve Sarkisian is. It's one of the bigger things that's out there. I just don't know. I don't know how much that you can trust Texas. It's no different. I don't know if there's a team this year in college football, after watching Clemson and watching some of those, you understand that Georgia's good. You understand that Alabama's good. But can they win consistently when they're playing good teams? Because this is the last year for all of these teams to get to play three or four teams that they get to play all their kids and they get to do all that. It's just not going to happen anymore. It's not television ready. That is where we are at in college football. That is the key to everything. How many college or TV-ready games are there? Nobody wants to see Alabama play a Division I AA school. They want to see, you know, the game. They want to see Alabama play Texas A&M. They want to see Alabama out there. They want to see Georgia out there. Georgia has made a lot of time of not having to play people either and just playing the games in the SEC. Big Ten changes next year. You don't have divisions anymore. You're going away. You're going to have to play teams. You're going to have to play tougher teams every year. College football after this year is going to change, and it's going to change because you're going to have 12-team playoffs. How you get there? What other maneuverability is there for some of these other teams that are still out there? Can the ACC survive? There's so many things. And after all of that, NFL is still king. And we have that coming up this weekend as well. Thanks for coming in this week. We appreciate it. We enjoy it. You're listening to Steen on Sports, 101.3, 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. I will see you on Monday. Enjoy the sports this weekend. See you.